Coming up, I'm going to teach you how to spot high-quality employers. And then you're not going to believe what delivery workers are admitting to. And then, will a part-time jobs fix help a lot of people? And we coach you up. Let's go. Helping you get the competitive edge to make more money and make more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show, and I'm Ken. Just think of me as coach. Welcome. All right, let's dive into this because we have seen now 36 million people change jobs over the last 9 months. Let me say that again in case you're not paying attention yet. Over 4 million people per month have left their jobs over the last 9 months. So it's more than 36 million people have left their jobs. And we're already seeing data where people are regretting, well, I left one job. It was a good job, but I left for a better paycheck. But the grass wasn't greener. And so they regret it. And I feel bad for them. And so I want to teach today on how to spot a high-quality employer. Meaning, it's okay to look. And if it's right, go. But how do you know that it's right as it relates to, are these employers who are recruiting you or who you are dating, if you will, are they worth marrying? How do you know? Well, there is a way we're going to teach you. But first, according to Gallup, employee engagement saw its first annual decline in a decade. Engagement dropped from 36% in 2020 to 34% in 2021. Pause. Let me explain that. That data. In 2020, the last time that they did that we saw engagement stay where it is, 36% of the workforce was engaged. 64% not engaged. They're on cruise control or worse, disengaged. And folks, this is a primary reason why I do what I do. I want you to be engaged because it's better for you. Now it's dropped. In 2021, their latest engagement poll, 34% of the American workforce is engaged. The rest, cruise control, or actively, they don't give a you-know-what. 32% of full and part-time employees are engaged, while 70% are actively disengaged. That's that number there. So all this data coming out means that you could quickly find yourself in that disengaged data. Or maybe you're already disengaged where you are and you want to leave so that you are doing work that you love that creates results that matters to you. But you think it is, you get there, and it was a mirage, right? So how do we avoid this? How can you spot a subpar employer, a awful employer? How do you go, whoa, not doing that? I've never done this. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know many people that have ever engaged in dating services. I think I know maybe like two or three, and they're really my wife's friends. So I've never had a conversation with them about this. I'm being serious. So I only have like indirect, like maybe something Stacy would tell me about one of her girlfriends who was on one of those, you know, Christian Tingle or, you know, Match.com or, you know, whatever these sites are, right? So I don't know anybody and I've not had a deep conversation, but from what I can gather, there are times where you are in this online dating, whatever, and they match you up. And then I guess you communicate with these people online and then maybe you talk to them in person. And maybe you go out on a date. And what I gather is that you can really get matched up with some Looney Tune folks. And you don't really know it until you engage in more conversation online or in person. But there comes a point where you get to that and you go, oh, I thought this guy was attractive. He answered everything the right way. But then I meet this guy. Thank God it was in a public space because he creeped me out. Okay? So this is the idea here. As people do in these dating services, my gosh, these are complete strangers. So you got to meet them and get to know them enough to go, is there something here? this is what we're talking about. You should be doing this with companies. Don't just assume that they're healthy cultures. And by the way, don't just assume that everything they tell you in the job description is going to come true. The interview process, listen. The interview process is just as much for you as it is for them. And that's what we're getting at. So here we go. So how can you spot signs that tell you that this is a healthy employer, a good employer, a bad employer? First, do you see happy faces in the building when you're there? Like, I understand that job interviews are nerve-wracking, but inevitably you're going to get there early enough to wait on your appointment. And so I'd be watching people. What do they look like? How do they act? You see some happiness, some juice walking around the building? It's very important. Do research. Ask the questions to HR. What the turnover rate is. They ought to be able to give you a pretty clear answer. It ought not sound like a politician on a Sunday morning show. You know what I'm talking about. Sir, are you going to vote yes on this bill? Well, what we're looking at right now is the effects of the bill. And the Congressional Budget Office has given us some results. And we're looking to see how that's going to play out. And, you know, there's several amendments to the bill and blah, 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 blah. And you didn't get an answer. That's a sign. If they can't answer any question you ask, by the way, in the interview process with some succinct clarity, it's a bad sign. What are their customer reviews and vendor reviews? This is readily available online. Don't take one bad review, but if there's 50 reviews, how many of them are good? Because the way they treat their customers, watch, is a good indicator of how they're going to treat you. Do they develop and promote people? This is a question you can ask in the interview. What is your ongoing training like and development for people? How many people come in this organization and move up the ladder? And watch for the Sunday morning politician answer. And then ask them, how does this company show that they value the people? What are the things beyond health benefits and training development? Is there a family culture here? Ask that kind of question and watch how they answer it. Alex, the producer, told me a story when we were preparing this. He said he had an interview where the interviewers kept saying over and over during just small talk, just in interacting with Alex, they kept saying things like, oh, thank God it's Friday. Well, I mean, Alex was like, good grief. The people that are interviewing me are saying things like, huh, can't wait for quitting time on Friday. I don't want to go do that. So why is it important that you use these tips to really dig in and find out if you are working or potentially going to work for a good employer? Because you put so much of your time and energy into switching into a position. You don't want to make a mistake like this and have to start all over. And there's so much collateral damage if you're flipping and flopping all the time. Coming up, break down some stories in the news. Are you ready to launch into a tech career in the next year? Bethel School of Technology's online technology bootcamp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. Aiden is a recent high school graduate who skipped college to enroll with Bethel Tech. In less than a year, he has a job as a developer with a salary of $65,000. 80% of Bethel Tech students land jobs within 4 months of graduating. Bethel students get jobs, and you can too. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started today. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you do what you were born to do. Do it well, make good money, and a whole lot of impact. 844-747-2577 is the phone number if you want to jump in. Okay. A couple of stories to get to, And I don't know if I'm ever going to get to two of them. I'm so excited about the first story. Let's do this. It's time for In the News. This is from studyfinds.org. This is a fascinating site. Incidentally, if you spend any amount of time on studyfinds.org, you can find lots of competing studies. One tells you one thing and one tells you the other. Fascinating stuff. But this is very interesting. And we're going to file this under the, you better treat people really well, and then you might want to reconsider how much you're ordering food. 8 in 10 delivery workers admit to eating customers' food. That's right. According to a poll of more than 500 delivery drivers commissioned by Circuit Route Planner, stealing a customer's fries or putting their sticky fingers in someone's chicken may not even be the most disgusting thing happening in the delivery vehicle. I can't. This is unbelievable. 1 in 10 drivers have urinated near a customer's home. But see, I know, before you freak out too much, the control room is having a little bit of a hard time with this. I got to tell you, that's not as bad as the next one. Another 10% say they've urinated in a bottle while making deliveries. I know. I don't have a problem with the delivery driver urinating in my side yard. I've been known to do that many times while doing yard work. It's one of the great freedoms of being a man. And it's not around my food. As long as you're, you know, not indecent exposure going on, I don't have a problem with that one. That one didn't like freak me out. Guy's got to pee, man. If as long as I get my pizza, if you need to duck around a couple trees on the side yard, it's fine. I got no problem with it. The urinating in the bottle in the car, I have more of an issue with. Okay. I just like to keep it real. Other actions some drivers admit to that are sure to infuriate many of you include intentionally damaging packages. 23% admitted to damaging packages on purpose. Stealing packages, 17% admitted to stealing. And then some opened and then resealed them, 17%. I'm going to tell you something right now. That number is about 3 times higher, 5 times higher. Only 17% admitted it. I've gotten packages before where I've looked at it and went, somebody got inside this thing and tried to reseal it. I don't know. Okay, so what's going on here? 3 in 4 delivery drivers say the biggest reason they don't like their customers and then do these bad things is because of bad tips. So they know these people. You see what's happening here? So the next time you get a pizza delivery, you better tip the pizza guy pretty well, because if you keep ordering from that same place and he comes back next time and he thought you stiffed him, God only knows what's happened to that pie before it gets to your house. That'll keep you up at night, won't it? Yeah, it's horrifying. I'm self-editing right now. All I'll say is that one summer in my high school career, I was working for a landscaping company. I was working for a painter, and I took a third job. I was trying to make a lot of money for a car. I took a third job one summer on the night shift at a McDonald's. And what I witnessed there was the reason I lasted 3 days. It's not going to fit in today's content, Alex. Relax. Nearly 4 in 5 drivers admit they judge customers based on the items they want delivered to their home. How about this for some of the weirdest orders drivers have had to drop off? Respond to say they delivered a 12-foot Christmas tree. Again, I don't see what the outrage is with that one. If Christmas Tree Lot told me they'd deliver the tree, Joe, I'm going to take them up on that. Yeah, deliver the tree. I don't want to deal with it. Who am I, Clark Griswold? The answer is yes, I am. Now, this is obnoxious. Others have delivered a single bottle of water and a lone donut. I get you there. But at the end of the day, as a delivery driver, your job is to deliver, not to deliberate. What do you care? You're getting paid if it's a donut or if it's 10 donuts. So there you go. All right. That was in one of those like entertaining things. But just one thing here. It sucks.
as a delivery driver, you're out there working hard, trying to make a living, and somebody mistreats you. I mean, that sucks. But messing with their food, it's just, that's not, two wrongs don't make a right. I feel compelled to be a dad for a second and go, wait a second, have you ever delivered? Have you ever ordered something that's delivered? You're not going to be in this delivery job forever. It's horrifying. I just said horrible. I created a word. It's like a mixture of horrifying and horrible, and it's called horrible. Look that up. All right, next story, Business Insider. This is an opinion piece by Rebecca Knight. How to fix the Great Resignation, create more part-time jobs. I don't think it's that simple. But she makes a very interesting point. She highlights a mom who is not looking for a 9-to-5 full-time job. She wants a part-time role because she can only do 25 to 30 hours a week. And the problem is, she's saying she can't get a job because companies are in, obviously, a big ramp-up trying to get employees, and so they want people that are full-time. So there's a stubborn challenge that the participation rate for women has stalled because of childcare. And the supposition by this author is creating part-time opportunities would enable employers to tap more female talent. No question. So you've got remote jobs. You've got hybrid, which is some remote, some in the office. And then people say, we want you in full time. I agree with the author. I do think companies, if they can't get full-time talent, then why not try to get two full part-timers to fill the full-time position? Makes a lot of sense. I would be doing it if I was a company, and this is why I pass it on. But that's not going to solve or stem the tide with what's happening right now with the Great Resignation. Because at the end of the day, part-time positions aren't going to go to higher level positions, talented. They're more going to be more hourly rated anyway. And so you're still going to have this big turnover. And what we've got in our country right now, again, I've been trying to highlight this, is we've seen more jobs be spun off by new industries and technology creating more types of jobs. The pandemic created a lot of different types of jobs. And so it's this great resettling where obviously hourly workers, defined by work that is in person, has been suffering because people can work from home or can have more flexibility. So this is a shift in the way we do work. But I think the author, Rebecca Knight, makes a very good point here. If you are a person who's in this boat and you're going, Ken, I can't work full time, I can work part time, then it is on you to really work your relationships. And when you get to these companies, you go, look, I know you're looking for full time, but if I can come in right now and at least give you 30 hours, like, you got to make that case. So I would sign up for some of these interviews and get in front of them and impress them and then go, hey, here's the deal. I stuck my neck out here on this deal because I want to work. I'm in a season of life where I can't give you 40 hours, but I can give you 30. Are you still interested in me? Well, goes, what's the worst that can happen? They look at you and they go, well, this is full-time only. I wish you would have told me on the front end. Okay. But companies are desperate for talent right now. And I think that's a viable strategy. Get yourself in front of them, impress them, and then go, look, for this season, I can only do this. Is 30 hours somebody that you can depend on that can come in today and make a difference? Is that enough? I like it. It's a maverick move, but I like the Mavericks. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where I help you get the competitive edge to do what you were born to do, do it to a level that you're getting paid really well, and you're seeing results come out of that work that just set your heart on fire. It is the competitive edge. I'm your coach, and one of the things that I provide you are resources. Some that we develop, some that are relationships. ZipRecruiter is a tremendous relationship. Why? Nobody's better at what they're doing. They're helping you take the suck out of hiring and looking for a job where all you hear is crickets. You feel like you're never getting noticed because of all the artificial intelligent scanners that these companies are using. Well, in just minutes, you can fill out a profile at ZipRecruiter.com for free. And by the way, it's always free to you. The companies pay them. And they're going to start pitching you to companies. And when you get somebody that's interested in you, they're going to tell you, hey, they want you to apply. And your resume stands out because they've asked for you. No crickets, no stress of filling out resumes all day long. Thank you very much. I love that sound. It's just easy. You get to do your life, and ZipRecruiter helps you get great offers to look at. ZipRecruiter.com, go today. All right, let's go to San Antonio, Texas, one of my favorite cities in the Southwest. Tracy is there. Tracy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Okay, so I'm a resident contractor at a client's facility. I've been here for 9 years. And for the past 3 years, my company has not issued any pay increases.
Wow.
So I looked on Indeed, and for my pay grade, I am being paid at 9% below average.
Wow.
For the county. And retail companies are paying more.
Wow.
Starting employees at a higher rate. So yeah. Back in January, I requested a $5 pay increase. And to date, all I'm getting is we're working on it with the client, working on it with the client. I check with the client, and they say it's back with my company.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, we have a pattern here. We have a pattern here. So Just to give you some marketplace averages, okay? So if you look at the entire world of work, employers across the United States, for many years now, prior to the pandemic, understand. So let's go back to prior to February 2020, it was pretty standard for companies to give about a 3% on average annual raise, right? So if you did get an annual raise, the average was coming out to about a 3% bump, okay? That's the average. And you've been there for 3 years and haven't gotten a raise at all.
9 years.
Oh, 9 years. Yeah, sorry. You did. Yeah,
No raise in 3 years.
Yeah. 9 years, no raises. I've been there 9 years, no raise in 3 years. Sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm talking so fast, I'm forgetting the details. But here's the point. We got a big pattern. You brought it up to them in January, and they've basically just kicked the can down the road and lied to you. Because I take it very seriously that a company says to a person like Tracy, who's worth a lot, you're already underpaid. You've done your research. Well, we're working on it. We're talking to the client. They got to pay us more so we can pay you more. And you go do your due diligence and they go, no, it's back with your people. They lied to you. Trust has been broken, true or false?
Oh, way true.
So now the issue becomes, and Tracy, this is where I make you uncomfortable, but it's all for you.
Go for it.
What is making you stay there and allow yourself to be lied to? Allow yourself to be devalued. What is holding you back and keeping you in this horrible state of being treated?
Well, aside from my company, everything else is basically gravy. I mean, it's...
I don't understand that. What does that mean?
My company is in a different city, so we're not micromanaged per se. And the client, I work directly with the client, and...
You enjoy the work.
I do enjoy the work. I enjoy the people I work with. I enjoy my hours. I get three-day weekends, and...
But?
The pay is...
Yeah. So back to my original question. You just sounded like a politician on a Sunday morning show. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I asked you a question and you're like a world-class bullfighter. Ole, 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 ole. And you're just swagging that red thing in the, and I'm a bull chasing an answer and you just keep making me miss it. What? is keeping you in this position for real. Because what you just gave
me
was
comfortable.
What?
I'm too comfortable.
Yep. But it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
There's something deeper. There's another level deeper. I know what the answer is. Dadgummit, Tracy, I'm trying not to say it. I want you to say it. Good coaches get their subjects or the pupils or the athletes to see it themselves. Yes, you're comfortable, but you're really not. You're not comfortable emotionally. Trust has been broken. You feel devalued. True or false?
Very true.
So don't tell me you're comfortable. What is really holding you back? If you don't tell me this time, I'm going to tell you, but I'm trying to get you to tell me. What's really holding you back?
Lack of confidence in my abilities.
Yay! Ding, 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 ding. We got it. Oh, I actually have my sound effect here. Yeah, I forgot to use that. This is the answer.
You're welcome.
This is the answer. And so it's holding you back. You don't have confidence that you can do what you do, do what you love to do, work with people like you get to work with anywhere else. True?
True.
All right. So I don't know how long you've been listening or watching this show, but I have a simple formula that will allow you to get more confidence. I taught on this recently. Clarity gives us confidence. There's specific things you need to get clear on. You need to get clear on what you do really, really well. Now, I'm not going to make you say it on the air. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but for just 5 seconds, while I'm talking right now, what do you do really, really well? I want you to just think about it. Think of the people skills you have, the technical skills. Think about the experience you have. You're really good at some stuff, aren't you, Tracy?
I am.
Yeah, I like that. Now I feel like I'm talking to the real Tracy. You were like, I am. Now, for 5 seconds, you don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to think about what you love most. You already told me you love working with this client. You love working in the type of job and work that you do. I want you to just identify real quick in your mind right now what you love most about what you do. Yeah. Your brain's filling up, isn't it, Tracy? You're pretty grateful.
Yeah, I am. Especially now.
You're really grateful that you get to do a lot of stuff that you really enjoy. That's passion. And then you also care deeply, I'm guessing, about some results that that work you love to do produces. You care deeply about some of those results, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. So now we know what that stuff is. You need to write that stuff down after this phone call. You need to write down what you don't do well. You need to write down where you want to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, professionally and financially. You need to write down what kind of things you want in a healthy culture, because you've worked long enough and you've worked for some bad leaders, you've worked with some good leaders, you've worked in some bad cultures, you've worked in some good cultures. You're currently working in a bad leadership culture. The good news is that you're not there all the time. But I would suggest to you that the fact that they've lied to you, if you worked with them in the office every day, you wouldn't be able to stand these people. So now you've written down what you are clear about. And what you want to do, why you want to do it, where you can do it, now you go look for it. When you go look for it, you're going to find it. And now that you're so clear, you're going to be confident. That not only that you can find it, but confident that you can crush it with somebody else. Tracy, do you feel what I'm laying out here for you?
Yes, like a brick.
Good.
Right on my heart.
Fantastic. This conversation is over. You have some homework to do, and you better act on it, Tracy, and I want to hear from you. You call the show back and tell me when you land in this new spot, and we're going to celebrate. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.